Eddie, I want to make sure, is that everything working on the mic? Okay, I think my batteries fell out during the song, so I'll make sure everything's good. All right, good evening, everyone. I hope you are having a wonderful and blessed day so far, and looking forward to tonight's lesson with you. So as you've been knowing, as we've gone through yesterday's sermons, we are dealing with the kingdom of God, and what we are talking about tonight is the ability to appreciate the diversity that exists within the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I don't think it takes one to understand that when you live in a very diverse culture, it affects the way you think and the way you live because of that diversity. When you live in a culture where everyone looks like you and thinks like you, then anyone that looks differently or thinks differently, well, they're kind of strange. I'm looking, I see my brother-in-law, he's here, and I love Bob. Bob's been a wonderful brother-in-law. He's preached here a number of times. You all remember when he was up at New Hope for a number of years. But I remember Bob and my father-in-law would refer to me as a foreigner that came from a different country. Now, last time I checked, 1959, Hawaii was a state. I said to my daddy, I said, hey, you may count me a foreigner, but as far as everyone else, we're part of the U.S. And I would tease them saying, now, if you really want to be a true Southerner, come down to Hawaii, South Hawaii. And it's a little bit more south than y'all, the deep south, that is, Pacific. And just have a good time with that. But what's interesting is when I first met Bob and Stephanie, and then I met, they actually got me married to my wife with Bob's now sister-in-law, Stephanie's sister, Julie. And they'll be here tomorrow, by the way. But I remember the very first time we were playing Scattergories, and I was bringing in Hawaiian words, and they're looking at me like I was cheating, and it was all new culture for them. That's what happens when you live a certain way. Bob's from California, so he understands diversity from that standpoint. Here in Athens, there's not much diversity relative to other parts of the country. Some people like it that way. Some people don't. What I want you to see is what the kingdom of God looks like, and I want to begin by reading Revelation chapter 7, and I want you to see the text here. It's an absolutely gorgeous passage, and we're going to see why appreciating the kingdom matters to you, right? So we started off Sunday morning with why the kingdom of God matters. Well, here's one of those reasons. And so Revelation chapter 7, you know, we're at the beginning where we're seeing the unfolding of the seals and what have you. And in this text are these verses. After these things, I looked, being John that is, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Did you get who all was there? Everyone. They're all together in this beautiful scene. There are many other passages that we will be able to go after and see this diversity, but I wanted you to see this text because that kingdom of God in all eternity, of every tribe, of every tongue, right? So I say to you, como mai, which means welcome, right? And that means nothing to you because it's in a different language, but when you can get that language in every nation and tongue, everyone greeting each other, it really is beautiful. And so here's where we go with diversity. And I want us to see the difference between the what is viewed as diversity in this modern way of use, in fact, the last 50, 60, 70 years, and a biblical view of diversity, right? So 60, 70 years ago, we've gone through this desegregation in our country, and we have forced integration in our society because civil rights were a big issue. And speaking of civil rights, we move further into the affirmative action, where more civil rights issues was an issue in our country. So in the name of diversity, we have desegregation. In the name of diversity, we have affirmative action. Today, we have, in the name of diversity, inclusion, inclusivity. And so the idea of diversity is we just bring in everything that is wrong with this world. That's just the way it's viewed among some. I want to see what the scriptures talk about with regard to diversity. And so we're not talking about desegregation. We're talking about the idea where you, out of love, you incorporate yourself in all the kingdom of God. Everyone. And I'm kind of holding my tongue what that looks like just yet, but that's what we're looking at. Okay? All right. I want us to pick up with this passage, and I want you to go to a particular passage in the Bible, and I don't have a passage on here because I want you to be able to do so, right? I want to ask you if you could choose between having one dog, right? Just one kind of dog. Maybe it's a Maltese. Maybe it's a German Shepherd. Maybe I had a collie when I was a little boy. That was my best friend, and collie dog, and his name was Pax. You only choose one. Would everyone choose the same kind, that one type of dog? Probably not, because we all are different people, and we would all have different people. Some people want the real tiny ones that are hypoallergenic, I think that's what, the ones that don't make you sneeze. And then some of them want the big, meaty, big dogs, and some of them want them for hunting, and some of them want just to cuddle with and to play with, to be social. Some of them want to guard their families, a variety of dogs. Where in the world, in the scriptures, can you refer to all kinds of a dog? If you started out in Genesis chapter 1, that'd be a good place, because the scriptures, beginning in verse 12 on day 3, talked about the different kinds of creatures that would be made after the different kinds of plants, day 3, that are being made. So you go to day 3, day 4, not day 4, but day 3, day 5, day 6, from the plants to the sea creatures, if you will, the water creatures to the land creatures on day 6. All the different kinds. What's interesting is that when God made plants, it wasn't just one kind of plant. I was telling my daughter today, I said, "Hun," Allie, who was here yesterday, I said, "I wish you could remember what it was like at Grandma Chi's house, my grandmother, her great-grandmother's house. I grew up where as soon as you walk through the very tiny property, 7,000 square feet, tiny, tiny place, but right on the right, tangerine tree, hundreds of tangerines. You take about 10 steps down on the right, papaya trees, all kinds of papaya tree, papaya. And then you go around the shed, and there's little chili peppers that you can have. Turn around behind the shed, two huge mango trees, all kinds of mangoes. Go to the opposite side of the yard, and there's banana trees that you can have. And then hanging over into Grandma's yard was a starfruit tree. I mean, you talk about all kinds. Not just one fruit, all kinds. God made all kinds of plants, all kinds of grass, all kinds of insects, all kinds of animals, and not just any one animal, but within a kind of animal, great diversity. We get to appreciate that. We get to see the beauty in it. I was asking children that I was talking to about this concept, and I said, imagine a grayscale rainbow. How boring that would be. How beautiful to see a rainbow in all its glorious colors. One of the most favorite rainbows I remember was I was working for a pineapple truck company, Maui Pine and Plantation, and I used to be a truck hauler. I used to haul pineapples from the fields in the mountains to the pineapple cannery in Kahului. And I remember one night I was working about midnight, and out on the ocean, if you guys ever been to Maui and you go to the head part of the island, Ka'anapali, past Ka'anapali, Kapalua side, you go up the mountain and you can see Lana'i on your left and Molokai on your right. Well, in between was a storm out in the ocean, midnight. But off to the left on Lana'i side, the moon was full, as bright as can be, like a harvest moon. And there was a rainbow out in the ocean at midnight where you can see colors. It was absolutely breathtaking. It's because of moments of diversity that you appreciate. I mean, you can just stay with your mind for great many years. That's what we're talking about. We're considering all kinds of creations within this planet Earth, within the universe for that matter, right? And it's just absolutely mind-blowing and beautiful. Well, when we speak about God's kingdom and we talk about mankind, you know, the first time you actually get the word the way it's written, at least in the New King James translation, it's the same word for the word Adam. But it's used in and translated in the New King James as mankind, a kind of human being, if you will, is in Genesis chapter 5 when you read the first couple of verses, right? So you got the kind of men. When in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26, when God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let him have dominion over all the diverse creatures on planet Earth. When he was talking about mankind, about Adam, this is what he had in mind. We don't know what Adam looked like, but from Adam came every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And yes, you can go to Genesis chapter 11. You can read of the Tower of Babel and God spreading them all over the globe. And I have some reasons why, but that's beyond the text. Otherwise, we'd be here long, and I don't want to go down that road for y'all. I want you guys to hear this sermon real quick, if you will. But here's the passage that deals with the kingdom that I want us to zero in on, and that is, go into all the world and make disciples. So I'm asking you, if you do go and make disciples, where do you go? Who do you talk to? Who do you reach out to? I can tell you without going further into this lesson just yet that I have seen Christians that will only talk to, well, you know, they would make good Christians because there's not much changing. They're already so good, right? They would just fit right on in church. We're not going to take those, whatever you want to call them, names and what have you, because if that were the case, I would not be a Christian today. Let that sink in. Bob knows how much I love the Lord. And I've shared the gospel with any and every person you could ever imagine on planet Earth. If going into all the world means, and I know we can do it right here in Athens, Alabama, right here in Limestone County, and take on whoever. That's your world here. That's acceptable. But within Limestone County, I know there's a great diversity. We should be taking it everywhere. Now, as we go further, I want us to look and see how this, as ludicrous as this is, and this is for our children to understand, and maybe our adults might appreciate it as well, how boring the body of Christ would look if it were just like this. I'm going to take this and go back to the previous slide so we get to see the contrast. The Apostle Paul said, because I am not an eye, or if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Imagine just how beautifully diverse a human body is. That you got these eyes and ears and noses and eyebrows and hair and all the different kinds of eyes, all the different kinds of ears, all the different kinds of noses and all the different kinds of hair, right? I remember when I came to the mainland, no one could cut my hair. I mean, they could cut it, but never looked good as far as I was concerned because I've got Japanese hair in me. I've got Japanese blood in me. And the white people just didn't know how to cut Oriental-style hair. And so eventually I had an Oriental cut my hair, and all right, here we go. I had a good haircut. But, you know, coming to Tennessee, not as many Orientals as in Atlanta. And so you get this diversity, and it's, man, it's wonderful. Go back to this here. I was watching, just before coming to the building, I was watching Sesame Street with my granddaughter, and I was looking at all the cast. I'd not seen Sesame Street in decades, I guess, years. And all the cast, you had a white person, a black person, an Oriental person, some of the Oriental, if you will. You had Latino, you had just a diversity. And then I was like, you know what they don't have? Because they seemed like they had all kinds of representation. They never had a single Polynesian in that Sesame Street. I was like, oh my goodness. Man, we're not representing, right? I was being jokingly offended because of the sermon tonight. That's an amazing cast that they have at Sesame Street. And I love when you go to different parts of the world, what that looks like, not from skin color, by the way, but the culture. It's absolutely breathtaking to see that culture. You learn things, you see what your strengths are, you see what your weaknesses are. I found out I was not very liking Ukrainian food or Russian food when I was in Ukraine. Salo, not so good. I don't know if anyone likes salo. Do you know what salo is, Mike? Okay. It's pig fat, raw. At least I thought it was raw. That's what it was given to me. And like, not so much. I love bacon. I didn't care for salo. Oxtail, I learned that that was all right. Once I got past the idea that they took off all the hair off the tail, that was good. But again, diversity, you learn all these different things, right? God is filled with people from all over the world that bring you new experiences in your life. And so, again, we're talking about being able to appreciate the kingdom of God. Here's where I want to spend some time. When God said, let us make man in our image, when he's talking about making Adam in our image, he was thinking of male and female. Because if it was just Adam, the person, we would not have mankind, per se. Not the complete version of what mankind would be. You see, when Adam was all alone, God was saying, he's going to make someone to be his helpmeet, right? Someone that would complete him. Not complete him as him, Adam, per se, but the fact that there was more to this thing that we called human being. Human being was, from our hindsight perspective, looking back at the text, is you're only talking about half of what makes humankind or mankind. Imagine if there were only men. How sad. Flip it around, women. Imagine if they're only women. How sad. But you take men and women, you take the way we think, right? Men are from where? Was it Mars? Women are from Venus? Is that book I remember? We think differently. We behave differently. Generally speaking, women are more nurturing, right? Generally speaking. Generally speaking, men have a certain way of living life that fit a stereotype of what makes them male. They complement each other. They should help each other. We should appreciate that difference rather than knock the man for being male or knock the woman for being female. But I don't think that's what God also meant when he made mankind. I was thinking about the fact that you can take young and old among mankind and the beauty that exists. The fact that as I'm getting older and I see life in a different perspective because of the years of living it, I see it in a very different lens than when I was a kid. I came to the mainland very naive because I lived on a small rock called Maui, right? I lived where we had a great diversity of cultures. And I was naive to discrimination on the island. It happened, right? We all teased each other. Every race teased each other in Hawaii. We, in fact, We do it so much, we have a song about it in the islands. If you ever want to, go look it up on YouTube. Might even download it, 99 cents on whatever the platform, Amazon Music. Mr. Sancho Lee. Mr. Sancho Lee, right, he's a Chinese guy, and he's got his friends, and Sun being S-U-N, by the way, C-H-O, Sancho and Lee, L-E-E. Mr. Sancho Lee, and every part of the life is, well, this guy, he's Japanese, he don't give me, this Chinese, he don't give me, this Filipino, he don't give to me, the guy doesn't give to me, the Hawaiian doesn't give to me, and so on and so forth. And then one thing he says we learn about this place, everybody we teach, we tease the other race, and yet we get along. That's the Hawaiian culture. I come to the mainland with this naive view. I'm new to Nebraska. I don't know a soul in Nebraska. Going to school there, and these guys, some new people I just met, we're walking along this path, and we're talking, and all of a sudden, they're talking about someone of a different color in Nebraska. Nebraska is pretty white. And the conversation went from this to this. Because you don't want to talk, you want anyone to know what you're saying. I was like, what happened? Why are you whispering? That was my very beginnings of understanding coming to the mainland, something that was along the lines of we talk differently about different people. And then I found out, having come to the mainland, and after getting married and everything, my mom was discriminated. You see, I told you I'm part Japanese. My mom was a war child, Second World War. She was born around that time, and my grandfather, that I did not know I had, was white. My grandma is Japanese. They have my mom out of wedlock. And then they were going to get married. The army finds out about it and ships my grandfather away because you're not going to have a white guy marrying a Japanese. Not during the Second World War, especially. My grandma never knew that he left one day and never came back. I mean, as far as she was concerned, he deserted her and carried that pain for decades. She grew up where all the Japanese looked at her because she was not full-blooded Japanese and looked down upon my mom. My mom comes to the mainland, goes to school in Missouri, and while in Missouri, she got discriminated because she was not fully white. Rather than, like today, I don't know, because diversity views have changed among some within the world, people are like, in Hawaii, we use the word hapa. Hapa means half, literally, but it also means mixed. So mixed blood. And like, oh, you hapa. You mixed blood. Hey, you get some cool-looking children. Hapa, right? Different views. Back then, you get discriminated, right? Maybe even today in some places, discriminated for being mixed blood. Whether it's male or female, young or old, or ethnicities, what you're seeing is a beautiful way of looking at the kingdom of God, at least a way that if you have never thought about it, that you should think about it, because this is what the kingdom of God looks like in eternity. And yes, we have cultures. Within the kingdom of God today, all the cultures that exist. And I love part of being in the United States where I can go to the South, and you see the Southern culture. I love when you go further down Louisiana and you've got that Creole-style culture, which is not Creole that I was thinking of in Haiti. Very different. Or you can go to Appalachian Mountains, and you got a different culture there. You can go out to the Minnesota. They almost like Canadian-sounding over there already, and you got that culture. And you go to the Midwest, and you have that culture. I love that. Different cultures. And even within a culture, right here within this congregation, with male and female, young and old, ethnicities, cultures, you know what's so amazing? Is down, even if you take everybody and 100% of the congregation were to be white, and let's say it was all only male, and let's say everyone's all old, old, white, male, you're still very different from each other. From your fingerprint to your interests. It may be more similar because you may all be right here in Limestone County, but you are individuals bought by the blood of Jesus. And that's beautiful. When we talk about these things, I remember, I'm not sure if y'all know Frederick Gray. He's dear to my heart. He preaches down in the Tampa area near Florida College, and he came up and held a meeting, and he dealt with discrimination issues in his sermon. This is, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago maybe. And I remember at one point in the sermon, he was talking about, I forgot the name, when you have different pigmentation, whatever that term is. And he was saying, you know, we're all just different shades of brown. Right? Technically, I'm not really white. If you want to put a label on me, I'm not really, put white against this, white page, I'm not white, right? And then when you say black, that person typically is not going to be black like what you see over here, right? But we use these labels, right? We say brown, we say red, yellow, for different ethnic skin types. And so he was saying, I taught my children, because he's dark-skinned and his wife is light-skinned, and so they would sing this song to the children. And kids, I think you might know the song. It's something like, brown and brown and brown and brown, Jesus loves the children of the world. Right? You might hear it something along the lines of red, yellow, black, and white. Right? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, all the different colors. And Frederick would say, brown and brown and brown and brown. And I was thinking about that for a while, and I thought, I love you, brother, and I appreciate your sentiment. I don't see it that way. I love the fact that we have different colors right here that I can see. I love that we have different ideas that we bring to the table. I love that we have different ages. I love that men and women can bring whatever unique characteristics as male and female to the kingdom. Because when we go out and make disciples, not everyone's going to look like us, and we'll need different perspectives. I'll go one step further beyond the screen. Socioeconomic status. Moral status. You have those that are morally the upright in the community that have good names, whether they really are good or have a facade of being good, but that is the perception. And then you have those within the society that are, they're not looked as very highly. And I remember, this is just part of life, even in the kingdom, you have to deal with the flesh. I remember once, when we'd go into the jails, and we baptized at least 300 in the jails in the last 9 years. I distinctly remember someone from a congregation saying, I don't know if I want them sitting next to me. The them included a former prostitute. The them included a former murderer. The them included a former child molester. At some point, you might be fine with any one of the thems until you're not on any one of the thems. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and verse 19, such were some of you. That was a church at Corinth. That's beautiful that God can redeem a soul and change them. I told you yesterday morning, you take away the murder, you take away robbing people, stealing from people. I stole from mom. I took quarters so I could play arcade games. I'm sorry, mom. You take that away, I did everything under the sun. And I thank God I'm his child. I thank God no one looked at me as less than. I thank God that I can take my personal experiences that are different than yours and add value to the kingdom of God. And because of my differences, I can go and share the gospel with people that some of you in this room would never dare talk to. And I love that about the kingdom, because you wouldn't be able to reach them. You would not have rapport. I love that about the kingdom. But take every one of us in this room with all these differences that you're reading here. Some men, you just can't go to women and share the gospel because of maybe some circumstances. Flip the script. Some women are able to share the gospel with some people because they are female, because they're women. Some of the young here are able to reach people in the community because of their youth and the things that they know, the words that they use, words that us who are older, those words, they're like, what language are you talking? I know the English words, but I don't understand any of them, right? All these words, differences, cultures, ethnicities, individuals, interests, and so on and so forth. This is what makes the children of God in the kingdom of God so beautiful, like a rainbow, like all the different creations that we can get in Genesis chapter 1. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, when we talk about the mystery of the gospel that our brother Mike was doing a great job teaching yesterday morning, here's what he goes on to say in verse 10 with regard to the gospel and that mystery. Here's what he says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That mystery, that gospel message that has been held for centuries, for millennia, as a mystery, was now revealed, and it's going to be revealed through the church. And the manifold wisdom, the diverse wisdom, that's what manifold is, right? It's diverse. Two principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It's going to take every bit of the kingdom of God, of all the different and unique individuals that make up the kingdom of God, to be the manifold wisdom of God. That's what Scripture is teaching us. All right? So that brings us then to this point that I hope we get. I hope, rather than, as I see in our society today, with divisiveness, it's been going on for decades, rather than be afraid of differences in Christ, that is, within His truth, within His kingdom, we're not afraid of the differences. We celebrate those differences. Like, I'm proud to have grown up in the islands. I may not always fit in to mainland life because that's not where I was raised. But I'm proud of where I've been raised. I'm proud of the high school I went to. I'm proud of the family that I belong to. Mind you, I have people in my family who are not Christians, but I love that I was raised by them. I have individuals, relatives in my family that don't know who Jesus Christ is, but I love the experiences I was able to have with them. And I love the opportunities when I get the opportunities to share God's word with them. I love being able to love them the way God loves them, sending His rain upon both the just as well as the unjust. I love every part of that. Don't be afraid. Brethren, when we're talking about the church here at O'Neill, don't be afraid of the youth, right? That's our next generation that is going to be our leaders within the Lord's church. And just like when you were young, you know what the older generation would say of you when you were young? What's this world coming to? Oh, no. Now you're older. And you might be saying or thinking the same things. What's this generation coming to? Kids, listen carefully. When you get older, you're probably going to be saying, what's this generation coming to? I'm going to tell you what this generation is coming to. The generation has always been wicked, mixed in with a remnant of those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who are part of the world, whose minds are being transformed, whose lives are being changed by the gospel message, by the kingdom lifestyle, which we're going to conclude on Wednesday night with. We're always going to have evil. We cannot just get into this world in which I honestly feel like the 80s was the best generation. And some would say, no, not the 80s, the 70s or the 60s or the 50s or whatever generation. I honestly feel like that way. I remember, with my parents being divorced when I was 7, 8 years old, I remember from morning from sunrise after watching cartoons. I would go out, ride my bike, play with my friends, and we would not come home until after dark. And we would be gone for miles in the 80s. Today, how many feet before we are concerned about our children? Right? Raising our oldest daughters, you couldn't go past one house past us. Because in today's society, we're concerned that something's going to happen to them. My mom was not afraid. I'd be riding my bicycle from Makawao to Pukalani, which is like 3-4 miles away on a bike where there are no sidewalks, just roads and the mountain. Right? Today, it's much more traveled, naturally, but you get the point. I love growing up during that time. But guess what? There was a lot of evil back then, too. We're always going to have that with us. Take the differences that we have within the church here and embrace them, appreciate them, and realize you will, if you do this, what I'm saying, you appreciate this, you're going to have a new problem, if I call it a problem. It's called growing pains. When you let someone speak that has a view from a youth view, there'll be some growing pains because remember when you were younger and you had some thoughts of what you think needed to be done that your parents or grandparents thought that, I'm not so sure? And you're like, Mom, Dad, I do love God. Here's my idea, my thought. The more open you are from that vantage point, again, you're not talking about letting sin in the door. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is allow for different thoughts and views that come to the body of Christ, and you will see a beautiful picture. And I'll give you one illustration before we get to our end. When it comes to the Lord's treasury, one thing that I had learned when I was going to different countries, I think I'm yesterday at some point, if not for sure now, in Haiti, in Ecuador, in Colombia, various churches in Ukraine, in Mariupol, at the end of the church service, all the monies that were collected, which is very, very little, would be distributed right then and there. So imagine you're here at O'Neill and you did the same practice. As soon as all the monies have been collected, it's dispersed to brethren in need. Right then and there, there's no banking account, no checking account. That's it. Now, naturally, we live in a different culture because we have bills that we pay and so on and so forth, right? That's different. But notice that cultural difference. Take brethren that have that cultural difference, and there are some brethren that came from Chicago down to Georgia where I was preaching for about 15 years, and they had that mindset. Small congregation, ethnicity-wise different than South Fayette where I was at, and they're like, yeah, we don't have anything. We have no account. That money's dispersed right on the spot. And brethren at South Fayette were like, well, that's kind of, how do you pay your bills? Well, we didn't have bills. And all the questions, right? You have to pay for lights. You have to pay for whatever takes place on your insurance for the building. So all things like that. And they're like, we didn't have any of those things. We just wanted to use the money and help those Christians that were in need because we're poor. Or to the worship of the Lord. We had some brethren that went on a trip to South Africa and they came back and they're like, we want to share the song that was done there. And the way it was done there was the tribal leader would sing to the other Christians and the other Christians would respond to the tribal leader that was singing to them and they would sing back and forth because remember what it says in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 that they would sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. And so in their minds they would sing to one another. Very different culture. So you take whether it's the Lord's treasury or the worship in this way, the various ways of serving him, very diverse. Imagine instead of being afraid of those differences, like, I'll give you one final one and move on. We had a brother in Christ that was visiting with us for a few weeks, and every song, he's praising God like this. And I don't care. I mean, he was sitting at the very front, week after week, praising God. Some Christians were smiling, like, you go. Others were like, And then you have a passage like lift up holy hands, right? In 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this guy's like, I'm lifting up holy hands. I'm praising my God. And I don't care if you guys think that I'm weird or anything. I am worshiping my God to the fullest. That's different. There's nothing indecent or disorderly. In his mind, he was doing the will of God. And so appreciate those differences. Don't be so scared of those differences. It's everything that keeps us from moving the gospel forward. It's the reason why, in my opinion, and this is just an opinion, why we're not able to share the gospel as much. Because we're so closed. Be more open about it within the realm of truth, within the teachings of Christ, and you'll have that. So Revelation chapter 7, once again. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. And this is what we're going to focus in tomorrow night on. And they were clothed with white robes. They had the right garments on. The garments that are befitting of those who enter into this kingdom. They might have had the same clothing. That's what unites them all. But from every tongue, every people, every nation, every tribe, that's who came into this kingdom. And I thank God once again. And I hope you will too. You know the songs that we're singing in the hymn books? They come from men and women, young and old, some from this country, some from other countries, different ethnic backgrounds, just different interests. All hymns that we use from one songbook. It's a beautiful thing. Don't ever forget that. I want to say before we get done that when we're talking about the kingdom of God and we're wanting everyone to enter, it is, again, for every single person on planet Earth. I want the atheist to become my brother or sister in Christ. And believe it or not, I baptized an atheist. I want people from a background that just is so foreign to kingdom life. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I know right now that if I told you their stories, some of us in this room would be in shock. Some of the stories are so terrible. Things that happen for them because of the way they're living for Jesus. And I love every one of them. So precious in the sight of Jesus' blood. So I'm sharing this with you. Whether you're young or whether you're old, male or female, you're here, right? I'm wanting you. And I want those who are young to really listen to this, right? Especially if you're raised in a family of Christians and you're thinking, well, maybe, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I want it to be on my terms. I want you to come on your terms, but listen to the terms. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he wants you in his kingdom. On his terms, not yours. Listen to his words. Let it sink in. Let it prick your heart. Should you decide of your own faith, confessing Jesus to be the Christ, and saying, hey, I'm young, and in my youth, I may not know much, but I know enough to follow the will of God. Let that sink in, because you probably knew more or no more right now at your age than I did when I became a Christian at age 20, going on 21. And you can be useful in the kingdom. You might be able to reach people who are young that older Christians in this room will not be able to reach. And for those of my older brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know, your work is not done. I go to a senior living facility, and I have some that are in their 90s, and I tell them very clearly, and I mean it very sincerely, your work is not done. We baptized a 93-year-old who is now our sister in Christ, had gone on to be with the Lord. It's beautiful. Your work is not done. And maybe if you're here, and you're older, and you think, well, I've been for so long, I'm not. The invitation is for you. Take advantage of that invitation. Come to the Lord. Have your sins washed away that you can walk in newness of life and add to to the diversity of God's kingdom. Do that right now.